We're thankful that each of you is here tonight, and we appreciate the fine singing. I want to urge all of us to put forth every effort to make next Sunday a successful day. It's our first fifth Sunday of this year. It's quite unusual to have five Sundays in February. Dave Phillips will be here. I heard Dave speak in the chapel exercise during the lectureship and enjoyed his lesson. He did a fine job, and I think you will enjoy hearing him. And let's do what we can to make our contribution, our fifth Sunday contribution, special. I would encourage all of us to try to double our contribution next Sunday at least and do as much as we can to pay on our debt. Phil and Kim, I'd like to say a personal word to you. Judy and I wish you the very best in your new work, and our prayers will be with you that God will bless you to serve Him and to have the best life possible. During the last little while, we have probably heard more about the death of Christ than any time that I can remember in my lifetime. Last Sunday night, Brother Hires dealt with the subject of what crucified Christ, talking about some of the specific sins that were involved in bringing about his crucifixion. And in his introduction, said just a little bit about the new movie that is about to be shown about the death of Christ. Almost everywhere I have been in the last few days, there's been some discussion about the movie, whether or not it's really based upon the Word of God, how difficult it might be to watch it, whether or not people are going to see it. I heard just a day or two ago that there are some churches, I believe, in Nashville that are renting an entire theater. And one preacher said that he was going to try to get his whole congregation to go, and after the movie, he was going to have an altar call. Of course, we do not understand that to be the teaching of the Bible concerning salvation, but it points out the impact that this is going to have on so many people and the fact that so many people are talking about the death of Christ. And tonight I want to share some thoughts with you that I think will in some sense be a companion lesson to the one we had last week and maybe cause us to really think about Christ and what he did for us and what he means to us. And I want to approach it tonight from the standpoint of asking a question. Did Christ really need to die? You may think that's an unusual question, but I'm hearing so many people today teach things that, if taken to the bottom line, would say that really there may be a way of salvation other than through Christ. That there was a way of salvation before he came, and even those that have never heard about him today may have a way of salvation. And if that be the case, is not the logical conclusion that really Christ did not need to die? I don't think there is a one of us who can really understand the suffering through which Christ went. And in the passage that Matthew read a few minutes ago, he read about the prayer that Jesus prayed shortly before his death, in which he prayed to his Father, "If it be possible, let this hour pass from me." In other words, if there is another way, then use it and do not let me die in the way that I'm supposed to die, is what I understand him to be praying to his Father. And then he said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And I think all of us would agree in a study of that passage that the cup there is referring to the overall suffering that he would be facing. And he was saying to his Father, "If it be possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me. Let me not have to die." Jesus was totally willing to give his life for us, no question about it. And yet as he faced it, his prayer was, "If there is another way, use it." And then he said, nevertheless, thy will be done and not mine. Whatever the will of the Father is, he said, I want that to be the end result. But if it be possible, let this hour, let this cup pass from me. Would you not conclude then that since God the Father let the Son die on the cross, that there was no other possible way? Or at least no other reasonable way that God could have used or would have used? Don't you think if there had been another way that the Father had considered that would be possible to bring about the salvation of man, that the appeal of his Son in this prayer would have been heard? And yet God let his Son die on the cross. To the extent that in some of the words that Christ uttered on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father let the Son die on the cross, and what we believe was necessary, according to the eternal purpose of God, which he had in his mind, according to Ephesians chapter 3, before the worlds began. We believe it was necessary for Christ to go through that suffering and that death and the shedding of his blood. And perhaps as we view the movie that is coming out or something of that magnitude, we will be impressed with what a terrible death that was and what Christ really did for us. But we believe that he had to die. And yet, it seems to me that if what is taught by the majority of people in the world today is true, there was no need for Christ to die. There are many people who believe that one can be saved by living a good moral life, separate and apart from Jesus Christ. I have known some people like this who have expressed that in no uncertain terms in my presence, indicating that as long as I am a good citizen, a good father or mother, a good mate, a good son or daughter, am honest in my dealings with my neighbor on the job, as long as I live a life like that, I believe God is going to save me. I believe that he would not allow me to be lost if I live a life like that. But folks, could not a person live a life like that before Christ died? And do you not believe that there were good moral people who lived and died before Christ came on the scene, who fit every one of those points that we have just mentioned? There are those who believe that there are human organizations that can save a person. I have books in my library where I could show you that there are those who say by being a good member of this organization, and they claim that it's not a church of any kind, can die and go to heaven. Were there not organizations like that before Christ died? Were there not human relationships where people encouraged each other to live right before Christ died? Why did Christ die if one can be saved like that? There are numbers and numbers of people today who believe sincerely and are dedicated to it in a sincere way that by being a faithful member of the Jewish religion, that one can be saved. You and I see people on the television almost every day, if not every day, who are still living under the law of Moses and who believe that if they die in that condition, that they will be saved eternally. And yet every last promise that is available through the Old Testament today was available before Christ came. in that those who kept that law according to the will of God were able to look forward at least to what they thought in Christ was coming, or to a Messiah to come. Today, if one can be saved by being a faithful Jew, why did Christ need to die? And then think about the world religions. And I guess this is the area that has caught our attention more in the last few years than anything else. There are those who believe that they can be saved eternally by being faithful to the religion of Islam, without any allegiance whatsoever to Christ. And that's just one of the world religions that exists today, where Christ has no part whatsoever, and where there is the teaching that by doing this and being faithful in this setting and being a follower of this man or this movement, you can be saved eternally with Christ not involved at all. When you study the Bible, would you not agree that there were world religions in existence before Christ died? And if one can be saved today through a world religion that has nothing to do with Christ, why did God let Christ die? Why didn't he just continue to use those religions that existed, that were following someone else, and let people be saved that way? And then there are those today that are generally, in general at least, religious, who believe in God, and who even say they believe in Christ, but who do not accept the teaching of Christ. Some even denying his virgin birth, some even denying that he was crucified and his resurrection from the grave. Religious, but not committed to Jesus Christ. And there is the general belief among most people that we know that people like that are going to be saved. If that's the case, were there not religions in existence before Christ died? Were there not people who were good religious people before Christ died? Case in point that we're studying in the Sunday morning Bible class, Cornelius. Was not Cornelius one of the best men that you could ever find, a religious man, even prayed to God? But he didn't know about the right relationship with Christ. Why didn't God just have a way to save people like that and let Christ not have to die? What I'm saying is, and I believe this is a valid conclusion, that if a person can be saved as a good moral man in a human organization, in the Jewish religion, in the other world religions, or even just by being generally religious, could not people have done every one of those things before Christ died? Why did Christ have to die? And I'm even seeing some statements in different areas of the country, or coming from different areas of the country, and some associated with the church who are saying, maybe God has some other way to save people. Maybe those who have never heard the gospel, God will take care of them in some way. Folks, think about what that says. You and I are giving money, we're spending time, we're spending effort to go into all the world and tell people about Jesus Christ. And most of those whom we tell will not obey the gospel. Would it not be better to burn Bibles if one can be saved without being in Christ, without the right relationship to Jesus Christ? Let me share with you about 6 or 7 passages of Scripture tonight. And before I do that, I want to say that there is no way that any of us can limit the power of God. God can do anything He wants to. He's been that way from the very beginning. He has the power to do anything He wants to. And if God wants different ways of salvation, he has the power to do it. And I wouldn't limit God in any way. However, as I understand it, every conclusion you and I make on any subject relative to religion needs to be based upon the revealed word. And when God has revealed to us what his attitude toward something is, we don't have to wonder. And when we draw a conclusion based upon what he has revealed, we're not limiting his power. He has limited himself in that. He has chosen Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the entire world. I believe that with all my heart. And if that is true, there is no other way of which I am aware that man can be saved except through Jesus Christ. Luke 19:10 says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and save the lost." And 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief," Paul said. Folks, those two verses say that man was lost before Christ came. He came to seek and save the lost. If man was not lost, why did he need to come? He came to seek and save sinners, of whom I am chief. If man's sin could be taken care of any other way, why did Jesus have to die? The Bible reveals to us that even the blood of bulls and goats and heifers could not take away sin, used to look forward to the coming of Christ, but not to take it away literally. And so the answer is that Jesus did need to die in order to save the lost. And those passages, along with many others, indicate that without Jesus, a person is lost. And I know of nobody else who can provide salvation for the lost except Jesus Christ. He came into the world to save sinners. He came to seek and save the lost. In Ephesians 2:12, in talking about the former condition of the Gentiles, Paul said that at that time ye were without Christ. Now notice that first. They may have had other relationships religiously, but he said you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. Is he not saying there that when one is without Christ, he is without hope? Without Christ, having no hope. The next verse says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Goes ahead and explains how in his death he broke down the middle wall of partition and reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. But Paul says, when you were without Christ, you were without hope. Can we not conclude then that outside of Christ, there is no hope? Acts 4 verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, and the name of Jesus has been mentioned in verse 10. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Folks, how clear do we want it to be? There is none other name under heaven whereby we can find salvation. And then people say, well, maybe there's another way. Maybe they can go to God in another direction or in another way. Colossians 3:17, "Whatsoever ye do, in word or deed. That just about covers it. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Not some other name, not some other possibility, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. John 14, verse 6, and you will remember that verse 1 through 3 is where he talks about let not your heart be troubled, and talks about the mansion in heaven. In verse 6, Jesus, in his own words, written in red in your Bible, perhaps, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I don't believe there is any other way of salvation except through Jesus. Not some other man, not some other prophet, not some movement that's not associated with Jesus Christ, not even a religion that believes somewhat in God but leaves Christ out of it. Christ said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Did Christ have to die? Yes, sirree. Because that's the way God chose, and there was no other way, and there is no other way. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, to you that are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, compare something. The statement is made that those who've never heard about Jesus and those who are living in some religion that's different from what we believe the Bible to teach, maybe there is some way for them to be saved. He's taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel. If the Bible is true, if I understand it, there is no other way to be saved except through the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when we emphasize mission work and taking the gospel to all the corners of the world, we're saying we believe that we've got to get the knowledge of Jesus to these folks, the teaching of the gospel to these folks. And when you and I meet people day by day who do not believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the gospel as it is taught, we are right in being concerned about them. If they're not in Christ, they are lost, and we are right in being concerned about bringing them to Jesus Christ. He came to seek and save the lost. Without him, there is no hope. There is none other name under heaven other than Christ whereby we must be saved. We're to do everything in his name. There is no other way to the Father but by him, and he will take vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel. Did Jesus have to die? I believe he did. Because that was God's purpose. That was God's way, and that is God's way today. God let Christ come to this earth from the beauties of heaven itself, live a life in which he had some difficulties and persecution and so forth, go to the cross, be nailed to the cross as an innocent man, die and shed his blood so that the world could be saved, that anyone could have the opportunity of salvation. And there is no salvation of which I'm aware anywhere else except in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And folks, when we, as we have tonight, talk about those who believe their salvation somewhere else, we ought to be concerned. But ought we not be more concerned about those of us who say we believe that and don't do anything about it? Who say we believe that Jesus needed to die and then sit back and fail to obey him? that obey not the gospel in 2 Thessalonians 1 refers to those in this audience who've not obeyed the gospel. And those who've not lived it. Did Jesus need to die? According to the plan of God, he had to. And he willingly did, that you and I might be saved, that we might be baptized into that death as penitent believers, and then live in connection with that blood that continues to cleanse us of all our sins, that we can have salvation from past sins and then eventually final salvation, because Christ died. There is no other way. And if you're not in that way, you need to come right now as together we stand and sing.